Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
The holidays are fast approaching, and for most of us, this means spending lots of intimate, in-your-face time around our spouse and our children or offspring. Some of us will spend at least part of the holidays with our extended families, elderly parents, brothers and sisters, their spouses, nephews and nieces, maybe even an uncle or an aunt, folks we see at most maybe once or twice a year. The bottom line, the holidays are a time where relationships with loved ones and extended family is at the forefront. Close interaction without the normal distractions of career and our busy social calendar. And here's a question for you to ponder. Will all this face-to-face time together this holiday season bring your family closer together emotionally, or will a wedge of contention drive you apart? As we spend uninterrupted time with those closest to us and with extended family members we don't see so often, will their constant presence remind us of and reinforce our negative judgments towards some of them? My wife spends too much money. My husband never helps out around the house. Our teenagers have no time for us, mom and dad. They're either on their smartphone sending tweets or they're playing video games on their Xbox. And I can't believe my brother and sister-in-law voted for, quote, the other candidate in this fall's election. That's in the U.S., not Canada. But even when we don't express our judgments out loud, they may hinder our ability to love unconditionally or to accept unconditional love from others. And it kind of defeats the whole message of this loving time of the year, doesn't it? My next guest, relationship expert Kendi Gill, is here to help us out by suggesting what each of us can do to silence our inner critic, as she calls it, that judge-like heavy voice inside that may be harsh both on ourselves and on others, reminding us of our own failings and limitations and finding fault with others, that inner voice that convinces us that we're unworthy of giving and receiving unconditional love. And Kendi Gill is a family transformation coach, an inward leadership consultant, and she's a public speaker. She grew up in the UK and worked in corporate finance for a top five accountancy firm. She's a former CEO responsible for 3,000 employees. Kendi has 30-plus years experience in leadership. She sold the business in 2004 and emigrated with her husband and children to Vancouver, that beautiful city in Canada, in 2006. She recovered from personal depression in 2008 and now is one of only 11 people in the whole world trained as a facilitator of the self-healing Dalian method. And in 2014, she founded Spark Expansion, offering one-on-one help, seminars, coaching programs, and virtual training to encourage parents to overcome conflict in the home, challenges with self-worth, and guidance on overcoming fears that surface. And hello, Kendi, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you very much, Roy. I'm glad to be here, too.
Well, in your promotion, you promised to share a quick no-yes technique we can use to transform the harmful judgments we make and to reinforce the ones that serve our relationships. Can you share with us now? That sounds very intriguing.
Yes, it is actually a very simple and intriguing process. It's been created by the mystic called Madha Dalian, who also resides here near Vancouver on the island of Salt Spring Island here. And she created this very simple technique to help us with a lot of that garbage that sits around inside us, stewing and brewing and making things worse. Because she's a very practical woman, and I've had the good fortune of being able to spend the last 8-odd years working alongside her.
Right.
And so really, in simple terms, just invites us to use the word no with our eyes closed, and we use the word no out aloud. And to start with, you're just basically saying no in your mother tongue, whatever the mother tongue might be.
Yeah.
And then as the attention is actually inward, because you've got your eyes closed, what happens is all these flashbacks of memories that you've stored away as part of that junk that's carried on inside start to surface. You know, moments where you should have said no and you didn't. Moments to your life where really there was things happening that weren't serving you, that weren't in your best interest, but you didn't have the courage to be able to stand up to what needed to be stood up to at the time. And so those memories just automatically surface from somewhere in the history that's stored in the cells of your body. And you get that opportunity to say no. And because you then get that that moment to be empowered, miraculously, some of that history and garbage starts to fall away. And it changes the way that your inner critic actually reviews other people.
So you close your eyes and just start saying no, and those come to mind then, I guess.
Lots of memories begin to flash and surface. So it's basically you just go, no, 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 and then the tone begins to change, and it might become no, no, or it might become very sob-like, like no, no. But whatever it is, you just go with the emotion and with the tone, and you remain completely honest with yourself. Yeah. And it's like a deep cleanse. And then the same thing, then the body then resets and you get an opportunity to then invite the yeses into your life. After a middle pause where you observe your breath. And then the yeses help you to just become more active and sort of able to receive the good that flows in the world around us.
Oh, I like that. I'm going to have to try that. Well, as we build
up, it's very simple and very profound. And sometimes... That's the most remarkable things in life, really. Some of the most profound solutions are very, very simple.
Very true. Well, as we build up to Christmas Day or Hanukkah, most of us feel pressured to pull off the perfect holiday, thereby setting ourselves up for a letdown. That's happened to me, I know, so many times. Can you offer advice on how to take the pressure off this desire for the perfect holiday for every family member? I mean, it never seems to work out that way.
I think that you begin with what you've just said there. We've put a lot of pressure on ourselves.
Yeah.
And realistically, there is a place to stop that says that we are human. And being human means that we're one of those sort of rare breeds on this planet that hasn't actually lived or yet been able to fulfill its proper potential. So we as human beings are sort of born imperfect. And we grope around on this earth trying to navigate our way around. And only through making mistakes do we learn the folly of our ego. And then through making those mistakes, we somehow learn how to humble ourselves and become better people. So the start point has to be to accept that there's a bunch of people that are going to come together and nobody in that room is perfect.
No.
And to expect perfection, therefore, is the first pitfall.
Judge what is a perfect day for someone else based upon what you consider a perfect day, is probably not going to work either, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, and therein lies the problem. The first expectation is for everything to run smoothly. Yeah. And ironically, on this planet, human-to-human interaction is designed to brush us up the wrong way so that we can see our emotional triggers. Human-to-human interaction in its state when we're trying to move towards becoming better people isn't about the fact that everything is already sort of ironed out and beautiful and or in harmony. So the reality is we should really look at those things that cause us to be triggered or cause us to judge something as opportunities for growth.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I think it's also so foolish when we stop to consider that Christmas Day or New Year's Day or whatever it may be is only one day out of this year's 366 days, and why we think we have to accomplish, you know, all those relationship improvements or that unconditional love on that one day a year is kind of a ridiculous expectation as well, I would think. But
it's a very high expectation, and the thing to remember is, and this is the bit that we fail to really get educated in through our schooling and through our lifetime, is that if our mind is judging another, then guaranteed it is judging itself too. And therefore, the person that you most deserve to give permission to just be itself, to be able to be who they are, is actually you. And you're not even offering yourself that compassion when you really are judging others. It's only when we get to the point when we begin to see, you know, our universal flaws, we begin to see that we all want to belong, we all want to be accepted, we all want to be loved. And the best way to do that is not to judge each other or ourselves, not to criticize each other or ourselves, not to humiliate another person or ourselves. It's only when we begin to see ourselves in another that we're able to do that.
The person who is most least critical of themselves is generally the one who's least judgmental toward others.
Absolutely. Right?
Well, on your website, KendyGill.com, you offer a free download for a wonderful little ebook titled How to Have a Happy, Loving, Peaceful Family Life. And this great little ebook offers 5 key secrets for feeling whole and achieving a grounded, happy, functional family life. Can you please briefly describe the 5 secrets? I think they're really very informational, inspirational.
Yeah, again, they're simple ideas and simple concepts, all of which that I've gathered through finding where I was falling over and then discovering that if I'm falling over here, most people must be too. And instead of just going, okay, this is the way my life is and this is where I'm falling over and this is the way everybody does it, it was sort of time to take stock and say, well, actually, there must be something and a better way, right?
Yeah.
One of these issues is we tend to control our domain. So because we sort of want life a certain way, a lot of us begin to put rules in place or control other human beings to make them respond to us in a certain way. And the weird part about that is that if you look at yourself as a human being, you're most triggered when your freedom has been sabotaged, when somebody's treading on you in some way.
Yeah.
So control has that impact on people around us, and it's only when we learn how not to control that we're able to sort of step towards having a more harmonious way of interacting with each other.
That's
and so then
true.
Begs a question like, what drives us to control, right?
Yeah.
And that's the other hidden secret that most of us will not be aware of, is that it is underlying fears that we have about the future or even the present moment that drives us to control. So for example, if we're scared that somebody may say the wrong thing, or we're scared that somebody's going to get judged for the way that they're dressed, or we're scared that somebody's reputation is at stake, we might then attempt to control their behavior in advance to avoid all that other heartache.
Yeah, that's such a good point when you think about our teenagers and the mother or the father even don't like the way they're dressing, and they're so worried that the child will be singled out and ridiculed that we start trying to control what they dress. And
that's right.
Totally against the opposite of what they judge as appropriate attire is probably totally different from what mom and dad judges.
Exactly.
Attire. I mean, there are limits, obviously, to what you'd want them to be wearing, but
exactly.
Usually backfires.
Yeah. It's massive. And so there's 2 problems. So there's 2 of the 5 tricks are just in there. One is about our tendency to control, and the other is the fact that it's fear that drives our tendency to control. So if we're able to manage our own fears, then our ability to sort of sit in our strength and to allow people to be the way that they are happens more readily.
Yes, that's right.
The third is to take responsibility. So, you know, we have a big habit in family life to think that, you know, as a mother, I'm responsible for my children or my husband, or I'm responsible to serve somebody well, or to be kind to somebody and to do this or that and the other for another person, particularly at times like Christmas and Hanukkah and New Year's celebrations. But realistically, we haven't really understood the word responsibility, because responsibility is about us taking responsibility for the way we respond and our emotional triggers. So if our attention could go the other way, instead of looking outwards at what doesn't please us, but we look inwards to reflect on why did I get triggered?
Yeah.
What's my conditioning here? And is my conditioning even valid? And is it even relevant, right? And who says my conditioning is actually the only way?
So, yeah, I like the fact that you say that every one of us should take self-responsibility for the outcomes in our lives rather than blaming someone else or circumstances beyond our control or should-haves. Totally. I should have done this 20 years ago. That totally. Kind of thing is so self-defeating.
Totally. Yeah, and so self-responsibility is another one of those key attributes that that ultimately helps to drive a harmonious family life. And what I've found is that this is the strangest part of all. What I've found is that the more you learn about yourself, the more you learn about your foibles, and the more you learn about the fact that, oh my God, you know, I can be jealous at times. Oh my God, I do compare myself. Oh my God, I do feel insecure. Oh my God, I do flip over and fall over here, this and there, the other. The more you know about yourself, the more real strength you canvas to actually be who you really are, because you've recognized all your faces.
Yes.
And because you've seen those traits, the good and the bad, not just the good, but you've seen the ugly ones too.
And
then
you recognize them when they come. When you're turning to those ugly ones, you recognize that you're doing that and you can stop yourself.
That's right,
yeah.
Then you're less likely to have interactions with other people where you're rubbing them up the wrong way because you already see them as a reflection of yourself.
Yeah,
you already see that if somebody's behaving a certain way and they're looking to get attention, you go, aha, hang on a minute. I do that too because I want attention and I want to be the center here too. And if you see somebody else that's competing with another person, you go, aha, I've done that too, or I'm still doing that, right?
Yeah.
So if you can go back towards looking at yourself and sort of know yourself more intimately than we're used to doing, then a lot of our interactions with our fellow members and family members automatically get altered.
I like that. One of the secrets was self-worth, and this is amazing, but you say the greater someone's self-worth, the higher that his or her level of happiness and empowerment, acceptance and or compassion for others, and ability to give unconditional love. And I think that's, you know, I always go back to the Bible verse from Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And so many people ignore that as yourself part, because if you don't have self-love and unwarranted love, but recognize your own self-worth and your ability to give, you're not probably going to give very much.
Absolutely. And your ability to actually recognize who you are comes out of being willing to see every aspect of yourself and then understanding that at your core, you are a compassionate person.
Yeah,
at your core, you do have empathy. At your core, you do get driven by kindness. At your core, you do get happy at seeing a smile on your own face and in the face of somebody else. When you begin to recognize those qualities that come from consciousness, and at the end of the day, Christmas is about celebrating Christ's consciousness. When you begin to see that inside you, your self-worth elevates as your own consciousness rises. And in that process, it's more or less impossible to then be critical of somebody else when you know that they too are an embodiment that is slowly growing in consciousness too.
Yeah.
And in fact, instead of criticizing and being upset with them, you tend to have more compassion for where they might be stuck
And then that fifth talk about the old inner critic, that little voice inside that...
Well, that's the driving force, right?
Yeah.
That's the driving force behind everything that's going on and behind all the dynamics. And so if we can concentrate on what our inner critic is saying and actually diffuse its power and diffuse it to a point, I have found that that nagging head that sort of just doesn't want to go away.
Yeah.
I have found across the last 8 years with the help of Mara Dalyan, the mystic that I mentioned right at the beginning, and with her technique called the Dalyan Method, I have found that you're able to silence that inner critic in such a profound way that you can get to a place where worry, fear, stress, anxiety doesn't have to be part of your makeup.
Yeah,
but instead, you're sort of swimming in silence.
You say that that inner critic or the what goes on inside you often attracts the same result that you fear attaining, or if you consider yourself like constantly bullied, then you probably will be bullied.
That's right. Because if you're afraid to be bullied, then you will be bullied.
Yeah.
Because you're like a magnet, and whatever the inner voice is saying, it has to draw in similar events from outside so that you can get to the point where you become compassionate enough to relieve yourself of your own inner critic. So if we go into this season with an attitude that says, okay, if there's something that's triggering me, if there's something in my life circumstance that doesn't please me, it is actually here only to help me with what my inner chatter is saying.
Well,
then it becomes
a
personal thing, right?
To have, wouldn't it?
Yes. It becomes a real personal thing. And then the motivation is there because you really want to be able to relieve yourself of some of that heaviness that we tend to carry inside our heads.
Instead of just regretting it and dreading it and fearing it, you address it and say, well, I'm learning from negative experience as well as positive, what doesn't work for me and what does work for me. So
that's right. And then that's true compassion for yourself, because now you're beginning to accept your own worth, because despite your flaws, you're still able to love yourself. And at the same time, as you find your way to really loving yourself, you love others around you too.
Yeah. Well, tell our listeners how they can obtain that great little free ebook, How to Have a Happy, Loving, Peaceful Family Life. I found that really, you know, it's only like 16, 20 pages, not a long book, but it's got so much meaty information in it. And how would they get that book?
That's really easy. They just have to go onto my website, which is www.kindigill.com.
K-I-N-D-I-G-I-L-L, right?
That's right, .com. And on the front page, there's a little sort of panel where all you do is just pop in your name and your email address, and then you can just download it for free. And the nice is the summary of those five issues that I've highlighted there, like even if you start working with one of them, you're going to begin to see a shift happen with the people around you.
Oh, that's great. Well, tell us a bit about some of the family programs and coaching services that you offer through your website. I know you have a number of services listed there for somebody that needs that personal touch and needs a coach or
What I'm doing, again, thanks to the beauty of this lady called Mara Dalian, everything that I work with is tried and tested techniques that sort of effectively guarantee some sort of transformational change for the person that takes the courage to do something. So we don't tend to do too much sort of like mind chatter. Obviously, there's education, and so I do offer help in terms of a person getting some understanding of why they would need to do certain things. But then the rest of the work is all done very practically with the Dalian method, and that's a systematic process that just runs through your entire body and eliminates from the cells of your body the root cause of this negative chatter in your head so that you don't have to invite it in from outside.
That's
so the work that I do with people is on one-on-one basis, that where we go through the method and I teach you how to use it so that you can actually carry on using it on your own and also at the same time experience a change.
I noticed on your website you offer a complimentary 30-minute consultation. How would a listener sign up for that? Because it certainly sounds like something that a lot of listeners would be interested in.
Well, same thing. You just go onto the website and you just pop in your details and then we schedule a time. And with that complimentary session, what I do is I go through something called the Spark Process, which is about sparking expansion into your life. And through that, we highlight and quickly identify the key fear that is driving your behavior at the moment so that you get more targeted on how to actually come out of the space that you're in at the moment.
Boy, that sounds wonderful. Well, to conclude, to summarize, Kindy has worthy goals for her clients and for you and me as well. As parents and spouses, be as quick and nimble as a CEO. Navigate the demands of family life successfully so that everyone thrives. And as much as possible, make certain every family member is empowered, happy, and self-motivated. And wouldn't that be the greatest gift we could give our loved ones and ourselves over the holiday season? And now let's relate Kindy Gill's discoveries and her method to our circumstance, middle age, And let's admit it, most of us are in our 40s and 50s, and are we less than fully satisfied with at least one aspect of our lives today? Not just family relationships, but maybe finances or career. If so, it's so easy to blame other people and circumstances beyond our control and what we should have done 15 years ago. And although we are less than happy, even miserable, it's a cop-out to carry around a built-in excuse for not taking control of our lives and trying something different. And as my guest Kendi has pointed out, our own inner thoughts and attitudes are the primary determinants of our destiny. No excuses. Therefore, the initial step to a better, more powerful, and joyful second half of life and better family relationships is to accept this responsibility. Then get in touch with your inner critic. Determine where the critic's notions came from and why so many of those preconceived notions do not fit, using that maybe no exercise you talked about. They don't fit with the person you are today or intend to be going forward. And if you need help in transforming your life at middle age, perhaps including replacing that inner critic with a positive affirmation of life, picture daily living as an opportunity to grow and evolve. Sense that that adversity is temporary and helps us to find hidden silver linings. Seek out and implement an out-of-the-box solution to everyday problems and find permanent gold dust, as Kendi puts it, a type of transformative answers to your problems and frustrations. And I highly urge you to go to kendigill.com, obtain that free ebook we talked about, and sign up for her complimentary consultation. You have nothing to lose and so much to gain. And thank you so much, Kendi, for being with us today. Wouldn't it be a wonderful gift for your spouse and children this year if you helped each family member peel away layer by layer your controlling behavior and released adversarial fears so that self-responsibility takes hold in each one of them, simultaneously silencing the inner critic and bringing that affirmative notion to the forefront. And thank you so much, Kendi Gill, for your most helpful comments.
It was my pleasure. I'm really, really delighted to have been invited here, Roy. And I look forward to meeting any person that has the courage to come forward and says, yes, time's ready in 2017, shouldn't carry on in the way that the years have up until now. Because I know for sure that the minute my life changed, I could never have looked back.
Yeah, what a great way to start the new year. And all of you have a most happy holiday season. And we'll talk to you again next week on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. Are you going home for Christmas or Hanukkah? Or perhaps relatives from your childhood are coming to visit your home this year? Mom, dad, or both? Your spouse's parents? Brothers, sisters, in-laws, ex-laws, and step-laws? Perhaps even an aunt, uncle, or cousin? And in planning for this year's family gathering, ask yourself this question. Am I seriously stressed out about going home over the holidays or having the folks I grew up with come around to our house? You probably don't want to admit it, but for a lot of us, that is very stressful. And as my next guest, Tom Gagliano, puts it, sometimes returning home and rekindling old family dynamics we grew up with could be the most stressful of all. And Tom's here to tell us why and to suggest ways to navigate family reunions without dread. And you may recall Tom Gagliano. He's been a featured guest on our program twice before, most recently in February of this year, and his message is so relevant to the challenges we face as parents and offspring that we keep inviting him back. And to refresh your memory, here's this remarkable man's biography. He overcame a rocky childhood, and as a young man, Tom was a highly successful entrepreneur in the greater New York City area. About 11 years ago, he started to spend less time on business and more time helping others who suffer as adults from negative childhood messages, returned to school and received his master's degree in social work at age 51. And in my book, that alone qualifies Tom for Midlife Transformation Hall of Fame. He's now a successful author, life coach, an in-demand keynote speaker, a leader in the field of addiction recovery and self-help therapy. And he's author of two books. His latest is Don't Put your crap and your kid's diaper, the cleanup cost can last a lifetime. I still love that title. And hello, Tom. Happy holidays and welcome back to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again. It's a pleasure.
And by the way, is there any truth to the rumor that you were the first runner-up for the Dos Equis commercial, the world's most interesting man?
No. They called me, but I had a radio interview that day, so I couldn't.
Well, why is it so stressful for so many of us to return home for the holidays for Christmas dinner or perhaps a week-long stay? It seemingly should be the happiest time of the year to reunite with parents and siblings.
Yeah, well, you know, the holidays awaken a lot of feelings, all different feelings in us. There's a warmth going back to see our family, our parents,
yeah,
which is great. There's really good feelings. And then there's some feelings that can be stressful. I mean, the holidays bring up a lot of financial stresses. There's kids, there's this, there's that. Just to pick what house to go to. Do I go to my husband's house? Or do I go to my house? What parents am I going to get mad at Thanksgiving? Yeah. Who do I choose? Even that alone could create stress. You know, so
point.
When we're going back to the holidays like this, you know, we're going back to a family of origin, and you know me well enough that my whole mantra is childhood messages. I truly believe that the messages we receive in childhood will dictate the intimacy we have or don't have, our parenting skills, the careers we choose, the roles we play.
Yeah.
So I think that when we're going back there, we're going back sometimes, and we regress back to the same roles that we did when we were little kids.
Yeah, I think that's true. And also, we always want things to be perfect for ourselves and for our kids, you know, if we have children on the holidays. And I think that creates a lot of extra stress, too. And it seems like so often the holiday is a letdown because we've been building up for it for so many weeks.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, it's a beautiful time of the year. I love the holidays, but, you know, you go back and all of a sudden you're competing with your siblings again, just like you did as a kid. Everybody's got to be right or nobody's listening. Or we go back to playing the people pleaser role where, you know, we end up saying yes a lot of the times. And we don't want to all the time. We want to say no. But God forbid we make mom and dad angry or and then all of a sudden our spouse is mad because we're not saying no to our family. And
there's always the spouse to think about, and he or she can be offended by our family as well.
Yeah, and it's hard to navigate both. It's hard to be able to take care of ourselves first. And you know what I always talk about? Many times when we go back to family, we get confused between what's selfish and what's self-care. And self-care means, to some extent, I need to take care of myself. I just can't say yes all the time. I just can't caretake everybody all the time. I got to take care of myself. But some of us have grown up in a childhood, and that's how codependency is formed, where we feel like if we don't take care of them first, we're being selfish.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can be very confusing to a person.
Yeah, that's a very good point, that distinction between self-care and selfish.
Yeah, it happens many times. You know, some of us, because we're good people or nice people, we get asked to bring all the food or most of the food or do all the cooking or most of the cooking. And, you know, and a part of us might say, hey, what about my brother Joe or sister Mary? Why can't they have more responsibility? So we don't do that. And again, our spouse may not like what we're doing. So these are all the little things that happen during the holidays that create the stress that we feel.
Yeah, that's so true. But well, let's say from the very start of your holiday visit, you want to establish that you no longer are the meek child you once were, dominated by parents or siblings or whatever. How can you make it plain that you no longer are willing to play a submissive role? Your parents and siblings can't help but to relate back to the old you. And how do you affirm your intended new role as an adult without sounding harsh and unloving? How do you make that point early in the visit so that you don't lapse into that old pattern?
I think that's a great question, a question that I work with many of my clients, because, look, it doesn't just come up during the holidays, all year long.
That's true.
You know, we have to take care of ourselves, say no when we want to say no. And look, some of us are selfish. We are selfish. Some of us don't do enough. I call that the victim role, where we sit back and we just expect things and we don't want to do anything about it. So there's always two sides to the coin. But I'll address your first very important question, and that is, whenever you're trying to change a role, you really really, I believe, you need to make it more of a we process than a me process. What do I mean by that? I think that all of us, when we're changing and healing, we want to solicit the help of other people to do this.
Yeah.
That means that if you're the kind of person that really wants to say no sometimes and not get caught up in saying yes and being mad at yourself for saying yes,
yeah,
you need to solicit the help of some really close people. Now, they could be friends, they could be relatives, they could be, you know, they could be a priest, a rabbi, it could be a therapist, a coach, where before you act and react, because reacting is when we get in trouble.
Yeah,
we say things like, you know what, I'll get back to you. And then you talk to your support group, whoever that is, let them affirm that you're still a good person if you say no. You're not a bad person if you take care of yourself. This way it gives you more strength to go back and tell those people, no, or whoever that is, no, I can't do this. I could bring this, but I can't bring this. Or, no, I can't, Mom, I can't. I went to Thanksgiving at your house the last three times. I got to go to my husband's house or my wife's house. So you need to solicit the help of supportive people, not people that are going to judge you and say, oh, come on, why don't you just say no? You need people that are going to say, I know this is hard for you. I know this is tough. I want to support you and get you through this.
Yeah.
You create a support system. Now, if you're in the party itself, let's say it's Thanksgiving, and you're getting really triggered by somebody there for whatever reason, you know, it's funny in life. The people that trigger us are the people we want to, we can't, we have to hear what they have to say. They make us crazy. We complain about them all day long. Uncle Joe makes all kinds of money, and he's always got to talk about it. Yet, we can't pry ourselves from people like that.
Yeah.
So, if you get triggered during the holidays, go for a walk. Take a walk outside. Get away from the problem. And again, call your support group. Tell them, hey, I'm struggling right now, whatever it is. Let them help you do for yourself what you can't do alone.
Yeah, that's such a great idea to leave the room or go outside for a little while and get away from it when before you pop off and say something you'll regret the whole rest of the holiday and maybe for years to come. But
right, and tell it to your support group. Whatever you're right. Whatever you want to say, tell your support group that. Say, you know what I want to tell Uncle Joe? I don't give a darn about your whatever it is. But tell your support group that. You know, get away from the atmosphere and tell your support group. And we were talking before the show about the election now and about how many holidays now were spent with people that are diversified. They might have voted for different people, and for our sake on Thanksgiving, my wife and I agreed, because we're in Jersey here, and you know, we had Trump people, we had Hillary people. We said to everybody, we're not going to talk about politics.
Boy,
no politics. If it comes up, we got
to
stop.
Yeah, the election's over. Let's move on.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the thing. You know, you have to move on. But I'll tell you something. Self-righteousness could be so addictive. I was, as you said, a bully as a kid. I was an addict, and I was addicted to self-righteousness. I was addicted to the point I was drinking poison down, and I hoped other people died. That's the strength of self-righteousness.
Yeah.
You only hurt the person. Self-righteousness only hurts the person that's being self-righteous.
Yeah. Well, how should you respond when your elderly mom or dad, or maybe a brother or sister, perhaps unintentionally, maybe intentionally, makes a comment or treats you like they did, like you were still a child or a teenager from long ago? Should you simply let it pass or come right out and challenge their remark or behavior?
I love the question.
Pleasant tone.
I love the question. No, you can't. This is self-care. You need to take care of yourself. Now, you don't want to go to your mom and dad and hit them over the head with a bat. That you don't want to do. But you want to be able to tell your mom, say, you know, Mom, I just want to tell you something. When you said that or did that, it was very hurtful. I'm not telling you meant to hurt me. Don't try to defend it.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to defend it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying to you, when you said that or did that, it was very hurtful. Mm-hmm. And you know, Mom, why I'm telling you this is because I really want to get closer to you. I want to have a relationship with you that I can tell you how I feel.
Yeah,
and I think that's important for both of us.
I'm an adult now, and I want to have an adult relationship with
you. That's right.
I still love you very much, and blah, blah.
That's right. You got it. Absolutely. Well put. I want to have an adult relationship and tell you how I feel. I'm not saying you meant to hurt me. I know you love me. But when you said blank, or when you did blank, it was very hurtful. See, that's self-care. That's taking care of yourself as an empowered adult versus a scared little kid that shuts down, runs away, doesn't say a word, or in many times, if it's really bad, will act out with alcohol, with other things out there. There's a million of them, eating even, instead of standing up for themselves as an empowered adult in an empathetic way, in a kind way, and saying how you feel.
Well, to move beyond just the holidays, I know in one of your prior book, you talk about a broad brush. What are three essential strategies for healing that can free us from the chains of childhood wounds or limits?
Yeah, my previous book, The Problem Was Me.
Yeah.
Okay, and again, I'm very fortunate. It was a bestseller. It did very well. And it's about responsibility. And responsibility starts with the first essential, and that is self-awareness.
Yeah.
I need to have self-awareness. If I don't have self-awareness, I don't know what actions to take.
Yeah, so, if you don't know what's broke, you can't very well fix it.
You got it.
Right?
You don't know what's broke, you can't fix it. So the first piece is I need to say to myself in the situation, we'll go back to people pleaser or caretaker.
Yeah.
I need to say to myself first that I am a people pleaser. I have a problem saying no. Or I'm a caretaker. I have a problem giving other people responsibility. Or I'm a perfectionist. I have a problem celebrating my victories. All I think about on the holidays is what I did wrong. Somebody said the soup was too salty. I don't hear the 10 compliments that I got. I go home and I hear the soup was too salty. You know, perfectionist. So I have to first be aware of the role that I'm playing.
Yeah.
With that awareness, now I can take a positive action. Maybe that action is seeing a professional therapist.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a coach.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just talking about how difficult it is to change roles with, like I said, that support network, whoever it is.
Yeah.
Now, the third essential is maintenance. If I consistently change those actions, see, I can't do it once or twice. It's not enough.
Sure.
If I consistently change those actions, now I'm changing the role I'm playing. But I got to tell you, when you change your role in your family, you are going to have an effect on every person in your family. It's like a dynamic where everything attaches to everything. So when one person changes their role, it affects everyone else, even healthy. Like let's say I'm a caretaker who never gives my kids and husband or wife enough responsibility.
Yeah.
I know they need to be given more responsibility, but I don't know how to do it. Now all of a sudden I'm getting help, I'm taking different actions, and I'm saying to them, look, you don't put your clothes in the laundry, I'm not cleaning your clothes. You don't clean your room, I'm not giving you an allowance.
Yeah.
You don't put your toys away, you can't play with your toys. All of a sudden now, I start to change my role in a healthy way. Well, you know what? Even though it's healthy, it's going to create a problem in the dynamics because people don't want to change their role. So you have to be aware of that, too, when you start to make role changes.
Yeah, that's right. And you have to maintain your role once you take
that's
the
right.
action. You can't just lapse back into it. Well, let's briefly discuss your latest book, Don't Put Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. I know when we had you on before, you say it's not just for people with infants
no.
actually wear diapers. But
no.
Most of us now are parents ourselves, and you rightly point out that rough patches in our parenting can be explained, at least in part, by negative feedback and bad habits we copied from our parents many years ago. How do we become aware when this is happening so we can reverse field and start treating our kids firmly but lovingly before it's too late and they're off on their own?
Well, you know, this in Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, there are ways for young parents to start off on the right path. But I think we have to be aware that as parents, we either do exactly what our parents showed us how to do or the complete opposite.
Yeah.
You know, unless you go and read books like mine and find different ways of doing it, we only know one or two ways, exactly what we're taught or the complete opposite.
Yeah.
So I think what you have to know more than anything, if I gave one message out to everyone, it's, you know, you got to relinquish the need to be right sometimes and choose closest instead. You know, for my child, I have four kids, very close to three of them. The oldest one, I was distant from because he had the worst of my parenting. That was when it was 25 years ago, and I was in my addictions. And I got to the point in my life where it didn't matter right and wrong. It didn't matter what I did or didn't do. It wasn't about blame. It was about taking responsibility. And I said to him, whatever I did, I'm sorry for. I just want to be close to you.
Yeah,
and if a parent chooses closeness and throws away what they did right or wrong as parents, If they throw away the ego, the false pride, well, my son or my daughter should have did this, I did this. You got to throw all that stuff away. Your goal has to be, I want to be close, and I don't care. I want to be close. I want to hear their feelings, validate their feelings, whether I agree or not. I mean, I don't have to agree with them, but I have to say, you know, I hear that you were hurt when I did this when you were young. I hear that you were hurt when I said that when I was young. If I turn around and say, oh, that's ridiculous, I don't know why you were so hurt, I just push them away again.
Yeah,
so again, you have to choose closeness or being right. And if you choose being right, you're not going to have an intimate relationship with your children.
Yeah, and you can't determine what they, you know, if they're not exactly as young adults or as teenagers going in the precise direction you had in mind for them.
You got it.
Too bad. You got to be close. And as long
you got
as it's,
it. Well, that's
know, legal
that's putting your crap in your kid's diaper.
Yeah.
When I already, at a young age, have expectations for my children that they have to be who I want them to be, you're telling the child that the love you're giving them is conditional on them acting and thinking the way you want them to.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest way to have a child. And you know what? You may have a successful child like me. I mean, I was very successful in business. Wonderful. But I wasn't a happy person. I was eating myself up inside. So you may push your child to be successful, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be happy.
Yeah, that's so true. Well, where should we go to purchase your book, Don't Put Crap in Your Kid's Diaper?
You could go to my website, theproblemwasme.com, and if you leave me any messages on there, I'll return those messages. So you can go to my website, theproblemwasme.com, and you can go to amazon.com and purchase either book, The Problem Was Me, or Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. And if anyone is to leave me a message on my website, I will get back to them within a few days.
Oh, that's great. Well, to conclude, the joyful end of the year holiday season approaches, the season of loving, sharing, counting our blessings, and making positive plans for the new year. And we certainly don't want stress over family gatherings, tension we have with one or more of our siblings or aunts or uncles or parents or whatever, and that little voice inside telling us we have to behave like we did when we were children. Or any other factor to ruin your holiday. So I highly recommend you take Tom's advice and have a wonderful holiday, and to make certain you don't pass along a negative attitude or bad habits to your offspring, I highly recommend Tom's book, Don't Put Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, and a most happy Christmas to you, Tom Gagliano. I better learn to pronounce your name. And thanks for all the advice.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on again.
And warm wishes to all of you as you get ready for Christmas, Hanukkah, and New Year's. And don't let your extended family get you down, please.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.